Read the date of Romans, chapter 12, chapter 4. Just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him improve and govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another and brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Tavina, and really glad to be sharing with you this morning from that passage. As Rick said at the beginning, this arises from our parish statement of becoming, and the broad theme within that is honouring one another. Under that heading, we're looking at pastoral cares. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, your heart is full of love, and we want to be like you. So soften our hearts as we think about love this morning and how we can care for one another so that we bring glory to you. Amen. When Peter, my husband, was a curate, and we were up in a parish in Yorkshire, and there was a rector and his wife and two curates and their wives. I was 21, I'm extremely junior in clues. And I was looking at the other two clergy wives as role models. The rector's wife was the ultimate pastor. She was extraordinary. Wherever there was need, she already been. And I remember looking at her with sort of just thinking, oh my goodness, I hope I grow up to be like that. And I remember somehow it was the ultimate, but also I found it quite threatening, when one Sunday I overheard her with the most enormous love and sincerity put her arm gently round an elderly lady and say, oh my dear, it must be a hard day for you. Isn't this the anniversary of your cat's death? I wouldn't remember probably the anniversary of her sister's death, let alone her cat's death. I'm never, ever going to be a pastor. And then the other curate's wife was the ultimate earth mother sort. You know what I mean. She had three children. I didn't have any by then, so I was in awe of anyone who had three children. And she cooked amazing meals for anybody who turned up way before. Bread makers, she made her own bread, and she made personalised quilts for people and things. Again, totally unlike me. And I was thinking, oh no, this is what clergy wives are meant to be like. Why did God? I'm only me. And I haven't yet, have I, begun to take on board what we've just read, which is, as you know, that Paul so often uses this wonderful picture of a physical body to say, of course we're not all meant to be the same. Imagine if you were just 42 gallbladders. Wouldn't be much use for it. Absolutely, we need to be different. We need them to work in harmony. So it's obvious that in that parish, it was a blessing that there was one person who had an extraordinary pastoral gift. And that was me. Somebody else who was wonderful, with young mums, and did practical stuff all around the place. And one person, and that was me, that loved leading evangelistic Bible studies and people coming to him faith. So we all did our different set, and that was really helpful. So in that passage, it talks about various ministries where people have a particular number one gift in their life. And there's prophesying in there, and leadership in there, and we could add tech in there, and we could add leading music, we could add, some people have a very particular gift. And I want to take the opportunity to say thank you, for when you exercise your particular gift and bless the whole body of Christ. We need you, we really appreciate you, that is wonderful. And for some people, this pastoring is their number one gift, and you can see it being exercised wonderfully. They seem to have of sixth sense about meat, and they're always there with a card and a kindness, and you know, they're just compassionately discerning all the time. And that is a wonderful gift to the body of Christ. But this morning, we're not talking about those number one people who just are pastoral, you know, all the time. We're talking about all of us caring for one another. This is, and the phrase comes up a lot in the passage, one another. One another. So it's for people like me who are not specially good at all that loving. Maybe you are, or maybe like me, you think, well, I'm a bit patchy. Sometimes I remember and I do something like it. Other times I beat myself up and go, oh no, I forgot. We need to be together in this loving pattern. So the specific thing is be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another. And it is a wonderful thing when you have somebody who loves you like that. But it's also a wonderful thing when you do any of that, because when you do, you are expressing the love of God to other people. You are being His voice, His eyes, His compassion, His tenderness to other people. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, a passage that you know so well, if I have the gift of prophecy, everyone's very impressed with that, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, sounds magnificent. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So sticking with our body picture, it is love is the lifeblood of the body. The lifeblood. It's not a specific thing like a gallbladder or a little finger. Love is the lifeblood which flows everywhere. And without that oxygen getting to every part of the tissue of the body, you would have died. Without love, the body of Christ is not alive. But with it, in all of us, shared with all of us, flowing all over the body, the body is alive, and we together can express the love of Christ to the world. Now, love varies, of course, and I'm well aware of the time factor. It may be that you don't feel that you have a very high-profile role in the church, or maybe not at work either, in which case you may have the wonderful gift of time. In which case, look out for the opportunities for the little kindnesses. Is there someone who you can get alongside? Is there time for a cup of coffee? Somebody who you thought saw a little look of sadness on their face? Is there maybe you're somebody who makes a crumble? Take it round. Those little kindnesses mean the world when they are shared, if you have a gift of time. But if you are not someone who has a gift of time, because you're either in a role at the stage of life where work in particular is absolutely eating you up, morning, noon, and night, then A, at work, you still can be somebody who says a particularly loving hello to their doorman, who everybody else ignores on their way into work, or makes a point of being appreciative to somebody who does the least high-profile job in the office, or takes notice so that you say thank you to somebody for doing a wonderful job. So you can still be caring at office. But the other thing that high profile, very, very busy people can do was also in that list. It may be that you can give financially. Many churches work on the basis that those who've got time to do the practical stuff do, and those who do not have the time tithe to give a tenth of what they earn, so that they can fund other people to do that. And that's the way the church works. Everybody is giving what they can, whether it's time or money. Now, if I said what is pastoral care, then I think that you would burl back at me some wonderful words. I think you would say empathy, I think you'd say sympathy, love, time, sensitivity, comfort, wouldn't you say all of those wonderful things? And that is all really, really important. And I think we can imagine what that is. But I also just want to talk about what love, what pastoral care is not. It's not complicated. I think we'll all recognise the fact that sometimes we want to love, but we hold back because we lack confidence. Especially, for instance, in a situation where you know that someone has died, and you know the person who's missing them the most, and you don't want to put your foot in it. And so because you're so sensitive to that situation, you don't say anything. Has anyone been in that situation or come across it? Or maybe you yourself are being bereaved, and you feel that people have not dared approach you. I remember when I was a baby, I literally saw people cross the road so as not to have to pass me on the pavement, because they didn't know what to say because I lost the baby. Actually, I think keeping it simple is the best thing. Do you know, one of my neighbours, when I was up in Huddersfield, and I had lost the baby, and she did the perfect thing. She came out and she said, "Oh, love, I've no idea what to say. Have this." And she gave me a quiche and a little bunch of roses from her garden. Wasn't that perfect? Not complicated. Indeed, she was saying, "I've no idea what to say. Have this." And that was love in action, and I was touched profoundly. Any one of us can say, "I don't know what to say, but I want to love you." So let's not let it be complicated. Secondly, let's make it love in the body as well as loving individuals. When a church gets together, there are lots of practical needs. I remember in one of our previous parishes, we needed to clear the church for an event, and a Japanese therapist was standing at the edge, and I cocked a bit of a quizzical eyebrow at him, which he answered, which was, "Come, not clearing chairs then?" And he said, "I don't know how you call it to clear chairs." And I managed not to say, "Oh, you do." But the fact is, there are some things I don't think you really need a specific calling to get clear chairs. Clearly, there are times when physically you're not able to clear chairs, but anyone can be helpful and just do those servant hearted things. If a kettle needs putting on, anyone can use a finger and just go click and turn the toy ring on, or clear a chair, or whatever else. There are things that need to happen. Every week, then they're meeting people who sit in the crowd and read a story. Lots of us can do that. Lots of us can do that. If we went on a rota, it would perhaps be a story once every 6 weeks for very few people who can't express love in that way. And we bless an exhausted mother quite wonderfully that someone else was reading that story to her child. So let's just do the stuff that we can do. Not complicated, not just for those we all already know and love very well, but for the body as a whole. Jesus was very simple and practical. Do you remember after he had done that wonderful miracle of raising Jairus' daughter, the next thing he said is, "Give us something to eat." Jesus was often very practical in his life. A third thing, it's not just for women to do or receive pastoring. I think sometimes the word pastoring has a slightly feel about it. And it has that slightly feminine edge to it. Actually, guys need looking after us. Oh, we can't just let on your phone, sorry. Guys need looking after as well. And guys can do it as well. It has to be said that possibly rather fewer words will be exchanged in the pastoring. But if, as a guy, you say to another guy, "Let's," and then it's usually doing is good with men, "let's go for a walk, let's go to a match, let's go fishing, let's watch that film, let's, whatever it is, let's do something together," that can make the whole difference. So do it, one man to another. And lastly, what it's not meant to be us on our own. I, and along with many of the rest of us, have tried to do pastoring on my own. I've looked around at needs and I've tried to be superwoman. It may be there. We're not meant to do this on our own, are we? We are meant to be together like the many slim wires that get wound together to make those fantastic, strong, flexible cables from which the greatest suspension bridges in the world are hanging. But we can only do it together. One wire would snap. Any one of us would snap. I have snapped. But together, we can do it. And finally, this morning, a decision of love. I'm not going to a charismatic conference led by John Wimber, probably some of you back in the day went to those two. A lot of people went back looking for miracles and drama. But actually, on the particular day that I remember, he made a powerful plea for a decision of loyalty in the body of Christ. A decision that, especially verbally, but in every way, we will stand with one another, expressing blessing and not expressing criticism. Never behind one another's back, slightly raising a question about whether the other one is quite on in some way. We need to be profoundly loyal and loving to one another. And we need to make a decision about that. I think it may have been at the same conference or elsewhere that somebody used the metaphor of a number of lifeboat crews along the southern coast of Cornwall, or the coast of Cornwall. Almost every village, I think it is as well, every village has a lifeboat crew because of what the coast is like. Now, if in the world our primary calling is to be visible, to be Jesus' love to the world, then we want people to be saying, what makes you different? What is that light that makes you special? What is that love that I'm encountering when I'm alongside you? Tragically, because the enemy knows the power of that unity and the power of that love, and because that is what makes all the difference in the world, he doesn't hit the enemy of our souls, sows discord, sows argument, points out differences, makes us spring apart. Let's go to those lifeboat crews. The world is like a sea full of dangerous currents and of drowning people who need to be saved. Imagine if all the cry goes up, there's been a terrible wreck, everyone launched, all those crews launched, they all arrive together at the place of tragedy. Imagine if they wasted their energies yelling from deck to deck, you've got the wrong buttons on your uniform. It's sort of funny, but it would be desperate. Of course that's wrong. Why do we not take our godly unity as seriously as that? We too are a lifeboat crew. We too are launched by Heavenly Father into a world where there are people who need to be saved. Their lives depend on Christians coming alongside them. And too often our energies are spent calling from boat to boat that that boat wasn't launched by their uniforms or whatever. It may be a silly metaphor, but I hope that it says to you, let's not waste time on things, anything really, other than salvation issues. Our energy needs to be in love expressed, in leaning out of where we are to those who don't know Jesus at all, and saying, we've come, Jesus is here, he is here to bring salvation. And that means that there's different crews from different villages in your life, or because you have different callings in your life, or different priorities, all of which is healthy. I've said above, all of that difference is healthy. Yes, let's rejoice in our differences, but let us make a decision that we will be united in this huge calling of salvation that we have got. So it is to Jesus' glory that we love. It is to Jesus' glory that we are different, we are united, we reach out together into the world, and we speak his words of salvation and love. And that is when people who don't know him wake up and they say, do you know, the Christian in the office is the one that I would choose to go to when I'm feeling broken. It is the Christians in the church who are running the country. It is the Christian in my cul-de-sac who maybe clears the snow. It is the Christian in the cul-de-sac who doesn't join in the gossip around here. It's a bit cheap, but they don't. Those little, profoundly important things make a difference. And that's what we're like, isn't it, people of God? Expressing that love together. So, what has God prompted in you today? Has God said to you, there are a few simple, servant-hearted things, some of those little rota spots that you could just sign up for? It's a job. I could do that. Cleaning, reading a story in the press, helping with the coffee, whatever it is. I speak to myself as I say this morning. Or maybe there's a particular person that comes to mind that you want to get alongside and spend more time with. Or maybe there's giving financially. Or maybe it's about making a decision to be loyal and always to speak well of the fellow members of the body of Christ. What is God wanting in you in love this morning? Let's pray together. Father, how do you want to be a healthy body expressing your love? All the different bits of the body working really well, fulfilling their own purpose, but also working together beautifully in harmony. Thank you for the lifeblood of the body being your love. And where you command it, you give it. So give us now your love. We have not enough of our own. Give us your love that we might share it with one another. And give us your love so much that we can reach out of the safe boat that we are in to other people who are drowning and don't yet know you. Give us your saving love for the world. In your mighty name.